with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Music was a real blessing to my heart this morning. Paul and Candy are going to be singing for us tonight, I understand also. I'm going to ask Paul if he'd sing that same song again tonight. I haven't heard that for a long time. I don't think I have. And Sandra and I had a man that sang in our wedding about 14 and a half years ago now. And he was my father's best friend throughout their younger years. And a tenor like Paul. And there was one song that he was famous for that everybody asked him to sing all the time, and that was that song, Ship Ahoy. It's a great song for the lost to listen to, and a blessing to all of our souls. So it certainly meant a lot to me to hear it, and done so well. So I trust he'll sing it tonight, and we'll hear some more from them, and then they'll be going back to North Carolina and Virginia. But it's been nice having a few moments together that we have had with them in the last couple of weeks. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Thou would speak to our souls and our hearts from the Word of God this morning, that we might hear Thee, dear Lord, and that we might be purposed in our heart to do what we ought to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that every heart might be open to the truth of the Scripture, and that every heart might respond where salvation is needed. We pray that we might see it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read verses 6 to 18, 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, and especially the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom do thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first defense no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy are the last inspired words of the Apostle Paul. And so we listen carefully as he gives us the last words. Verse 6, he tells us he's ready to be offered. The time of his departure is at hand. He's soon going to die. And this is what he wrote before he died. And he was able to make this great statement before he died, the statement that's contained in verse 7. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. It's a statement of accomplishment. And verse 8 is a statement looking to the future. He has a statement of accomplishment at the end of his life. I sat with a man a little while ago. He's going to die any time now. And as I talked with him, and we talked for quite some time, he spoke of his life in not the same way the Apostle Paul. His life was one of regrets, one of few accomplishments. You know, a few things he looked back and remembered, but it was regret. And there certainly was nothing for eternity in that life. Man wasn't saved. There was nothing for eternity. And just one of regrets. On the other hand, we see Paul. He says, a crown is laid up for me. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Before he died, he was able to say that. How sad it would have been if the Apostle Paul would have said, I started out for the Lord, and I worked hard for the Lord, but I stumbled and I fell. Never did finish the course. Never did keep the faith. I just kind of washed out of it all and languished the last days of my life. How sad it would have been to see something like that, wouldn't it? When you get to the end of your life, are you going to be able to say, I've fought a good fight? I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Are you going to be able to say that? Are you going to be able to say with verse 8, there's a crown laid up for me? I know there's a crown because I fought the fight. I finished the course. I ran the course. I didn't give up on the course. I kept the faith. Are you going to be able to say that? Can you say it from year to year? I look back on this last year. I guess, you know, that's what folks do, you know, they come in a new year and you see the reviews in different newspapers and magazines. People reflect back on the year. I look back on the last year. And what an eventful year it really has been. It's been a tremendously eventful year. Many things took place, and maybe you'll remember, many things in your own life took place in a year. 365 days of things that took place. I think of in Plymouth, the great struggle that was there with a number of folks, and then some people left, and they left us with a great debt to me to pay the teacher's salary, something that it looked like it was big before they left. And after they left, we thought, well, if we have to, we're going to have to take out a loan or something to meet this thing. And the Lord met it. He met it every time. It never did get behind. He took care of the whole thing. And we were amazed that all the money, we didn't know where it ever, we still don't know where it came from. We really don't. But it came, and the Lord took care of it. And then not only that, but after that debt was met, we were led to the Lord to go ahead and put on a new addition and to put in the baptismal tank and to have our first indoor baptisms. And what a joy it was. And then as the school opened with more students and more teachers than the year before. And many events happened. Events happened here, certainly from last January 1st. Our attendance here is more than doubled. Maybe even it's a good deal more than that. I'm not exactly sure. We saw a tremendous amount of things happen. Equipment that's been purchased that we didn't have last year, and the van that was purchased. The tremendous things we've seen taking place in a year. 365 days. All of the great things that God has done. And all the people that have been visited, and all the people that have made professions of faith, and those that have gone on for the Lord, and the work that's been done for the Lord, and the tracts that have been given out, many things have been done. And you know, I think back to the first years of the church and the early struggles when there were only a few faithful that came. And most of those are not with us now. And how sad it is. They were with us once. They struggled with us. They were faithful when nobody was coming, when there was 10, when there were 12, and they were coming out. And something stopped them. Something stopped them. And something could stop you too. You could get to the end of your life. And your story, instead of being one in which I've fought a good fight, and I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith, it could be one of excuses, of could have been, of bitterness, of somebody that hindered you, somebody throw a roadblock in front of you, and I could have served the Lord except this happened, and all these people were against me, and these things happened. It could be a life of excuses, and not one that can say, I've fought a good fight. How sad it is when people are stopped. Paul said he finished the course. And dear friends, I want to submit to you, when Paul finished the course, you have a course to run, and your course isn't going to be as rough as his. Your course will not be as rough as Paul's. And he finished the course. If you want to please the Lord Jesus, if you want to win that crown, dear friends, let nothing stop you. Let nothing stop you. In the Christian life, there's an abundance of things that can stop you. And let nothing stop you. There are going to be obstacles in your way. And I want to show you some of them this morning. Look at verse 14. Paul speaking says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He withstood our words. He did him evil. There's a man serving the Lord and somebody else did him evil. You know what? Satan's going to come against you. He wants to come against you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to bring you down to defeat. And in many ways that he can do it, and many obstacles that he can throw in your path. Paul had many obstacles. Alexander was one of them. But it was Satan that withstood Paul constantly and tried to bring him to defeat. And Satan will come at you from all different kinds of angles, looking for a weakness in you to bring you to defeat. And if you sit there right now and say, well, I don't think it'll happen to me, you're in trouble already. Bible says, take heed lest you stumble. Oh, Satan knows how to do it. Remember, Satan came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and Satan came and he tempted him. And he said to Jesus, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Jesus was going to get the kingdoms of the world. He is going to get the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Satan wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to bypass the cross, the place where he bought our soul salvation. He says, I'll give you the kings of the world. Kingdoms of the world. And Satan is a prince and power of the air. He's a ruler of darkness. You remember that about Satan. And he said to Jesus, I'll give them to you now. If you worship me, you won't have to go to the cross. And that's one of the ways Satan works. Satan makes it easy to sin. Satan makes it easy to sin. It's a lot easier to sin than it is to do right. And Satan will come to you and he'll have a proposition that looks easier to sin than it is to do the right thing. I'll tell you something. It's a lot easier to leave a church than it is to do the right thing. It is. Well, you show me biblical reasons why a person should leave a church. There are some. There are. You're not preaching the truth, you ought to leave. You got doctrine all mixed up. Great sins within the church, within the preacher, you ought to leave. You show me biblical reasons for leaving a church, and I'll show you that most people leave a church for selfish, sinful reasons. Most of the people today that have a good reason to leave a church, they don't. They want to stay there. The people that are leaving most of our churches today are not people who have good reasons, but some kind of selfish, inward problem. And the reason they leave is because it's easier to sin than it is to do right. So, preacher, you say it's sin to leave a church? Yeah, most of the time it is. We're Christians. If you're in the right church, it is. And they leave it. You got a job to do on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ ordained the church, the local church of Jesus Christ, to do a work for Him. And when you're saved, you ought to be in that church and working toward the building up of the body of Christ in a local assembly. That's your job. And when you're not doing that, and when you pull out, you're tearing it down. Oh, it is sin. And it's easier to sin than it is to do right. Look down at verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Here's Demas. Oh, who is this Demas? He's a fellow. He's with the Apostle Paul. You see in other portions of Scripture, he's there with Apostle Paul. Paul's giving his greetings to other churches. He's saying, you know, Demas is right there with him. Now, Paul went through some tough times, didn't he? He went through some times where he stood alone. Nobody stood with him. And things got rough. There were times when Paul got stoned. And he wasn't too popular for preaching the gospel. And Demas was right there with him. And then things got a little bit too tough. And he started to look out and he saw that world and he said, oh, those things look nice. Oh, those things look fun. And it's going mighty tough now. It's hard. And he got out. It was easier for him to sin. Something stopped him. The Christian life was hard and something stopped him. And the world looked like an easy way. It's easy to sin. Easier to sin than to do right. Back last summer, I remember, it seemed like we were having quite a few visitors practically every week. Some people were coming for a number of weeks to see whether they liked our church or not. I remember preaching on how you ought to dress. Wiped out about two rows. Well, I mean, that's a sad, sad thing. It really is. That stopped them. Where are they now? What are they doing now? That stopped them. I said, you ought to dress good for Jesus Christ. And that stopped them. They're worse than Demas. He stuck with Paul through a lot before he finally left. I preached against drink. Not just boozing. Most people know that boozing isn't good. I preached against those social drink. I don't know how many that wiped out. I really don't. And we're not here to wipe out people. We want people to get right with God. You can't love the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be a godly Christian and be taking Satan's fire water. You can't do it. Even in little doses. The people heard that. A few families left, and every time I mention it, somebody new comes along. They usually don't like it. It's sin against Almighty God. Whether it's a little bit or a lot, sin. And it's easier to sin than it is to do right. I preached against the wickedness that was on TV. One or two families left. Because it's easier to sin than it is to do right. It's easy to go home and say, I don't like the suit that guy wears, than it is to say, we're turning off that TV set, we're going to get right with God. It's easy to do that. It's easy to sin than it is to do right. And something stopped those people. Something stopped those people from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Something following those people from fighting the good fight of faith. We don't want to fight. We don't want to fight. We want the easy way. And it stopped them. How sad. Don't let anything stop you from doing what you ought to do. It's sin. Repent of it. Confess it to God. Get right with God and go on for Him. It's easier to leave a church than it is to do right. We have seen people over the years leave a church because their friends or their relatives were dissatisfied with something. Usually something small. That's right, friends or relatives. And it's a lot easier for them, you know, it's a lot easier for them when they got to meet with their friends and their relatives and they see their friends and their relatives all the time. It's a lot easier for them to meet with them and to criticize the church than it is to take a stand against their friends and relatives that they might not be able to have fellowship with after that. That's hard. And so they leave. Why? Because they were dissatisfied? No, they didn't know they were dissatisfied until somebody told them. And then they leave because somebody else did. And where do they go and how they end up? You know, people come to me and say, so-and-so only goes to church now once a week, you know. And look what happened to them. Take heed, dear friend. It could happen to you. Satan's going to bring along something that's going to make it easier for you to leave than to stay and do right. Christ didn't take the easy way. He took the cross.
He didn't take the kingdoms now because that was sin, and he took the cross.
We ought to be like the Master. Satan raises up obstacles. And some of the obstacles don't look like obstacles. They look easy. And then another one of the obstacles is failing Christians. Some people stop and they give up because of failing Christians. You look at verse 16. At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. That's what Paul said. Some people, you know, they give up because the Christians fail. Because of weak Christians that do some things wrong. You know what? I'll tell you something about Paul. Paul ended up his life and he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith, he said. You know what? Paul had the greatest reason that everybody ever gives for doing anything to quit. You know that? He had the greatest reason to quit that people ever use. Excuse is a better word than reason. And the greatest excuse to quit. And everybody uses the why they do everything. You know what it is? Everybody else did. Yeah. At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Everybody else forsook them. And they said, that's not my battle. That's not my fight. I don't want to get involved in that. And when people quit, they said, everybody else is. So they quit. There are kids that cheat in school that wouldn't cheat in school under any condition, except, Father, I think everybody else is, so they're going to. We do a lot of stuff because everybody else is. And everybody else turned away. And Paul was left alone to fight the battle. And he was not affected by weaker Christians. He didn't let that stop him. Dear friend, don't let anything stop you from doing what you ought to do for Jesus Christ. Don't let the failure of Christians stop you. You know what? There's always going to be weak, cowardly Christians. There are always going to be worldly, unfaithful Christians. There are always going to be compromising Christians. Don't let weak Christians stop you. I'll tell you something. You see, we're going to have weak Christians here. Don't let them stop you. Weak Christians are welcome here. If they weren't, we wouldn't be biblical. Weak Christians are welcome. We're going to preach to them, and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to encourage them, and we're going to do everything we can for them. And some of them maybe get strong. And some of them never will. There are some people that go just so far, and that's the end. And they don't want any more of Jesus Christ. Then they go just so far. And they're weak, and they're inconsistent. But nevertheless, if they don't bring any hurt to Jesus' name, if they don't cause grief and trouble within the church, we want them. The children of God. And they'll be here. And as we grow bigger, there might be more of them. And there'll always be those kind. There always have been those kind. And not everybody goes on to follow Jesus with all their heart and soul. But don't you be stopped by their weakness. Don't you get your eyes on them. And let your Christianity be affected by a weak brother. You know, you see things that they do and you don't think it's spiritual and you get all in a dither over it. That's what I'm talking about. You know, somebody goes on vacation for 3 weeks and they come home and you say, where'd you go to church? And they say, well, we didn't get the chance to go to church. And you think, boy, I wouldn't miss church for anything. What's wrong with them? And you get all upset about it. And where it hurts you as a Christian is you're getting upset about them. And you start thinking about them. Why are they doing this? And why are they doing that? And you know what I mean? Instead of taking care of your own problems, you're thinking about them. And it's stopping you. Not even because you want to be like them. Just because you're meddling in their business. You start to sin against God and the sin starts to drag you down.
I'll tell you something. When you see inconsistencies in other Christians, what do you do? What do you do when you see inconsistencies in other Christians? You know what the first thing you do? You tell everybody, right? Now most of you know that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You don't go around telling everybody. You know what so-and-so did? I don't think they're as good a Christian as they should have been. You don't do that. What do? You pray for them, right? No. That's number two. That's number two. When you see somebody and they got a problem and they're a little bit inconsistent in their Christian life, you know what you do? You know what the first thing you do is? You don't say, well, we got to pray for so-and-so. The first thing you ought to do is say, I got to pray for me. That's right. You're going to get down on your knees and say, dear Lord, I see that inconsistency. And dear Lord, I hope that I don't have inconsistencies in my life. And help me, Lord, to reflect upon that person the way I ought to. And help me to be right in my heart toward that person. And not to be critical of that person. And not to be thinking all the time about that person. And not to be carrying on about that person. Help me to get right, dear Lord. And then you pray for them. Well, that's the only way you can do it. Otherwise, they could stop you with their inconsistency by you being so worried about it you don't do right. I'll tell you something. I got a lot of enemies. You know that. I got a lot of people that have spoken and said all kinds of things about me. You know, when I go to prayer and the Lord brings one of those names or one of those people to my mind while I'm praying, you know the first thing I do? I don't pray, dear Lord, straighten them out and get them on the right track. The first thing I do is I pray for me. As soon as I think of them, I pray for me. And I pray, Lord, don't let me have a heart of resentfulness. Listen, when you get everybody against you all the time, you have a tendency you could be resentful. The only people that don't ever get resentful when everybody attacks them are hypocrites. And then you go and say, Lord, forgive me if I've got any kind of resentment in me at all. And if I don't have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in my heart, forgive me. And help me not to resent them, but to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, if you don't do that, you will be stopped by their sin when you should never had to have been stopped by their sin. Don't let weak Christians stop you. Don't get your eyes on them and worry about their inconsistencies. Worry about yourself. And then you might be able to minister unto their needs. And then there's other ways that we Christians stop other Christians. They do it by their influence, by their talk, by their griping, by their complaining. I think one of the sad things I've ever seen, we want our kids only to go to good Christian colleges, but you even go to good Christian colleges and you get into the dormitories and you get some of the wrecks of humanity. And you know what? I mean, they're ready to complain about everything. They're in Christian colleges. They really are. They're ready to complain about everything. They have a rule at Bob Jones that you can't complain, I guess. And that was a good rule. Charlie told me there's a big sign over his door that said, you can't complain. He said the first thing we did when we got there was complain about the sign. And you know what? When people start complaining, you're ready to listen all the time. It's just absolutely natural to you. And even people who know that they shouldn't be listening, you know, they don't usually have the guts to say, I don't want to hear any of that stuff. And then we Christians drag other Christians down by complaining about stuff, and people get into hearing it, and as soon as they hear it, they're sinning, and as soon as they're sinning, they're deceived, and as soon as they're deceived, they're ready to listen to anything, and they'll take any lie in. And we Christians hurt them. Don't let we Christians stop you from being a person of God you ought to be. Let nothing stop you. But that's not all. Another obstacle that Satan throws in your line of the strong Christians. Don't let strong Christians stop you. Some people, they don't get too disturbed. They see weak Christians not going, and they get their eyes on strong Christians, and then they watch that strong Christian, and then that strong Christian does something to offend them or does something they don't think is right. They come all to pieces. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Strong Christians fail. And the Apostle Peter, he failed. Well, you know, he failed a few times, probably when he wasn't a strong Christian, but after he preached on the day of Pentecost, you know, he was a strong Christian. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He worked for Almighty God. But he failed. He started falling back into all kinds of things. And Paul had to rebuke him. He failed. Didn't stop Paul. He had to rebuke Peter for getting off track. Peter got off the track. God mightily used Peter, but he got off the track. Paul failed. Paul wrote 13 books in a Bible. He failed. He disobeyed Almighty God. The Holy Spirit warned him many times not to go to Jerusalem, but he went. He failed. Can't let the failure of strong Christians stop you from following the Lord as you ought to. I believe, sad to say, there have been people who've stopped their walk with Christ, stopped coming to church, floundered and wandered about because of me. I know it's true. Something I did or said or didn't do got under their skin and got them bothered. They got upset or hurt. And let them go to pieces. Where their life went downhill and downhill from then on. Wandering about. The sad thing it is. People get their eyes on Christians. And as preachers, we have more people's eyes on us. And if everything doesn't look just right with the guy, sometimes people stumble. Oh, you got to get your eyes on Jesus Christ and listen to the Word of God. I say that man's a human instrument. And he's not just going to be the perfect person that we think he should be or that we thought he was. You gotta be that way. Our eyes have to be on Christ. I'll tell you something. People stumble forward. I've had people say to me, "You forget everything." And that's not true. I don't forget everything. I do forget some things. And you ask me, and you know, and I forget. I don't forget everything. And then people get upset about something. You know, maybe you were greeted at the door or weren't greeted at the door or maybe somebody grabbed your hand, you know, before it got there and said, "He's got a weak hand," you know. Or you know, he spoke curt or something like that, you know. And there are very few preachers, I suppose, who are so kind and lovable and so considerate that it could see everybody and talk to everybody and be sweet to everybody and do just the right thing for everybody. Even Abraham Lincoln said you can't please them all the time. I think he said that. And people get offended about those kind of things and they stumble and they fall. Because everything wasn't exactly as they thought it was going to be in the person they had their eyes on. Strong Christian can fail. Don't base your Christian life on me. Something about me. And you don't understand what I said or why I did. Paul didn't stumble because the other Christians forsook him. He didn't stumble because Peter failed. St. Peter was older in the faith. If he failed, no sense going on. He didn't say that.
Let nothing stop you from finishing your course. Satan's going to cast obstacles in your way. Don't let anything stop you. Satan knows how to do it. He'll make it easier to sin than to do right. He'll show you weak Christians. He'll show you the failure in strong Christians. He'll bring everything to your attention so you'll fail, so you'll quit, so that you'll go back. Oh, I'll tell you, you need to know it. Well, all the things I saw in the last 365 days, I know we got another year. What are you going to be like another year? I told my daughter this week the message was for her. But you know what? It's first for me. That's true a lot of times that we preach that the message is first for the preacher. But this one really is first for the preacher. Then for my family. And then for you. Because, you know, the more you want to do for Jesus Christ, the more Satan wants to stop you and defeat you and bring you down and get you to quit. And he's got 100 ways to do it. Come at you from all kinds of angles you never even thought of. Give you obstacles. And discourage you. And the last thing I want to bring to you this morning is that he'll discourage you by showing you sin in yourself. Don't let sin stop you from serving Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. This is Mark, John Mark. You remember John Mark? He went on a first missionary journey. First missionary journey, went down through Cyprus, sailed over to the continent. They traveled up to Antioch, and then they went down to Lystra and Derbe and Iconium and back from Iconium to Derbe to Lystra to Antioch and then back and sailed back. You remember that? That's how it went. Mark, he got to the continent. That's as far as he got. He didn't get to Antioch where Paul got in trouble. He didn't get to Iconium and Lystra and Derbe where Paul got in trouble. He didn't get any of those places. He got to the continent. He said, that's enough for me. I'm going back. And he quit. Something stopped him. And then, you know, Barnabas wanted to take him on the next journey. Paul said, no, we don't like quitters. But then I see that the last thing that Paul writes down is he says, take Mark and bring him, for he's profitable to me in the ministry. This quitter sinned against Almighty God. He said he was going to do something for God. He said he was going on a missionary journey for God, and he quit. Sin. Don't tell God you're going to do something for him, and then you don't do it, and you quit, and you go back. He did. But somewhere along the line, and we're not told in Holy Scripture, Mark came back. And he didn't let that sin stay with him. And maybe at the end of Mark's life, he could have said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I run the course. I stumbled once and I fell and I got out of the race, but I got back in the race. He didn't let sin stop him. Christian's going to sin. You're going to sin. You're going to confess it. Forsake it. Battle it. Trust Christ. Get going for the Lord. Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from serving Christ. He's going to convince you that you're not worthy to do it. He's going to convince you that you're not holy enough to do it. I'll tell you, I don't know how many times Satan brought the thought to my mind. Anderson, you preach a gospel of holiness, but you're not holy enough to preach it. You're not good enough to preach that way. Makes you want to quit. Satan wants to bring you to sin and to defeat. So you want to stop. Look over at 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. Page 400 and something. 182. 1 Chronicles 21, 1. Satan stood up against Israel and enticed David to number Israel. There you see the picture. Satan wants to. He enticed David to sin to number Israel. Why wasn't David supposed to do that? Because God said that the children of Israel would be like the stars, that they'd be innumerable. David said, I can't believe that. Let's go out and number them. Yeah. It says, Satan enticed David to number Israel. Sin. Who is David? Word of God tells us that David was called a man after God's own heart. Who is David? The Word of God tells us that someday Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is going to sit on the throne of David. Of David. God's man. One of the great names of the Word of God is David. Did David sin? Oh, I'll tell you. You know a few of them right off. He looked over there, that woman with lust. And he committed adultery with her. Then he had her husband murdered. You know all them sins. David had an unforgiving spirit to Absalom. Wouldn't forgive him. David was disobedient to Almighty God. He carried that ark the wrong way. God told him how they were supposed to carry it. You've been studying with us. You remember the staves go right through that ark. The Levites were supposed to carry it. David put it on an ox cart. A man tried to steady it, and God killed him. He disobeyed Almighty God. David brought the death of the life of Uzzah because he disobeyed God. And here in this place, he disobeyed God. But he was a man of God. He didn't quit. He went on to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't say, I sinned too much. I can't do it. Now, don't you think that I'm promoting sin? Don't you think I'm saying, now don't you worry about sin. You know, you go out and sin and confess it and just keep going. Don't you think I'm saying that? I'm not saying that. When you sin, you're going to pay a great price. You're going to pay a great price when you sin. And David paid a great price. Oh, you don't think numbering Israel is such a bad thing, you know, disobeying God. You don't think that that's so bad. But I'll tell you something. 70,000 men in Israel died because of it. Look at verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. God said, David, you sinned. And God said, you got a choice of how you're going to take the punishment. And David said, well, I'll take the punishment from the hand of God. I think He'll be more merciful than the others. 70,000 men died by pestilence. Listen, dear friend, when you sin against Almighty God, you're going to have to pay for it. But if you do sin, you've got to get it in your mind. You don't want to sin. But if you do sin, then you go on for God. Confess it. Be broken over it. Come to the Lord over it. And start to work for the Lord. He's merciful to forgive. 70,000 men die. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. You sin against Almighty God, and you may affect some Christians, and you may hurt some Christians, and you may hurt your children, and who knows who you may hurt. David numbered Israel. 70,000 men had to die and leave behind women and children. When you sin, you can bring disaster on those you love. Don't ever take sin lightly. And once you've been brokenhearted about sin, you go to Him. Because I know from the Word of God that God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ is far greater than all of our sins. And when you're broken, you confess it and forsake it and bring it to Christ and then go on and serve Him with all your heart. And don't let sin destroy you. Don't let sin be an obstacle. I'll tell you something. If a servant of Jesus Christ had to be a man that didn't sin, Jesus wouldn't have any servants on earth. And don't think you're unworthy. We're all unworthy till we're saved. And then Jesus said, go serve. Satan's going to want to bring sin to you and say, you're just no good. You shouldn't be serving Jesus Christ. You're too weak. You don't have it. You've sinned too much against God for Him to ever use you. He's going to bring about everything. But don't let it stop you. Let nothing stop you from serving Christ. Let nothing stop you from going on. He's going to bring everything. He's going to make sin easy for you. He's going to show you weak Christians. He's going to show you weakness in strong Christians. And He's going to show you your sin. All to stop you, to get you off the track, to quit, to flounder, and not to go on, and to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. And you get weak, and you want to give up. Because there are obstacles. But Paul didn't give up. He didn't give up when he was the only one. He stood alone. And at the end of his life, he could say, I fought a good fight. You won't get through to Christian life and be worth anything unless you can say, I fought a good fight, dear friend. There ain't any floating through to Christian life. They sang that song, God hasn't promised us that it's always easy. No. You haven't been anything in the Christian life unless you can get to the end of the Christian life and say, I fought a good fight and I ran the court and I kept the faith. And I didn't stop. Don't let anything stop you. Now, I've been speaking to Christians this morning. You're not saved. I have the same message for you. Let nothing stop you from taking Christ. I sat in a house of people the other night. Oh, they saw the truth of the Word of God. They saw what it takes to be saved. They knew how a person could be saved. And a fellow said to me, you guys don't believe it's right to drink. And I take a few. Yeah. Let nothing stop you. With some people, their favorite sins stop them from getting in the kingdom of God. And they die in their sins and they go to hell. Their favorite sins stop them. Many times we talk to people about their soul, and somewhere along the line, something stops them from getting saved. They go to hell because something stopped them. Don't let anything stop you. It's a new year. Let nothing stop you. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed, we come to a time of prayer. Come to a time of decision. An invitation. Oh, dear Christian. Because you're saved. It doesn't mean that the waters are going to be calm in the next 365 days. They may get real bad. In fact, they may get so bad it looks like you're going to be swamped and go under. When you're saved, Jesus is in the boat. And when He's good and ready to say, peace be still, you'll get all the calmness you ever need. There are going to be obstacles for you. Satan wants you to fall back. He doesn't want you to progress. He doesn't want you to grow in grace. He doesn't want you to strengthen this church. If he can get you to hurt it, he will. And if he can get you to flounder, he will. Don't let anything stop you. When you're saved, you got the captain of your faith in the boat. And you can say now in your prayer, dear Lord, I don't want anything to stop me. I'm determined in my heart. I don't want anything to stop me. And I'm depending completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to give me the strength to be what I ought to be when I need it. Dear friend, there's going to be some time. You've got to determine it. Even when you determine it, you're going to get to the end of your rope sometimes. And when you get to the end of your rope, God knows you've determined it. Now you're ready to quit. And Jesus Christ will come and take care of it. And He'll see to it that you don't. That you ought to determine and that you're not going to let some other Christian's failure. You're not going to let some other Christian's cutting remark hurt you. You're not going to let something in the church that's bothering you get in your way from going on and being the child of God you ought to be and progressing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You determine that and determine it by the grace of God. Say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. And I purpose in my heart to let nothing stop me by the grace of God and by your strength, dear Lord. I won't let anything stop me. I can't do it in my own strength. You hear you're not saved. You have an more important let nothing stop you. Let nothing stop you from getting saved. Someday the God that slew 70,000 men because David sinned, He's going to burn you for all eternity. And maybe your favorite sins stop you from getting saved. Let nothing stop you. You run to the cross of Christ this morning. Believe that Jesus is your sin sacrifice. God from all eternity past. He died for your sins. And ask Him into your heart. You're sitting here and you don't know a time. And you don't know when you were saved. And you've never been saved. You don't remember when Christ came into your heart and changed your life and made you a new creature. And you're not saved. You say, I want to be saved this morning. And follow the Lord. And have strength to walk over the rocky path with Jesus at my side. You ask Him to save you as we go to prayer. I want each one to pray silently. May God bless us and meet our needs as we pray. As our heads are bowed. I trust, dear Christian, you made that decision. I want to speak for a moment now to the lost. As our heads are bowed, I'm going to pray. If you're here this morning and you really know down deep in your heart and you can for a few moments be honest with yourself, you know you've never come to the cross of Christ and gotten saved and had a changed life. You're not sure if you died today that you'd be with God in heaven with all your sins washed away. You say, Preacher, I'd like to be sure. I'd like to know. And I don't want anything to stop me. If Christ paid for my sins, I want it. If you're here in that condition, I want you to let me know. I want you to let me know by the uplifted hand. Say, Preacher, here's my hand. I want to be sure I'm saved today. I want to pray for you in the closing prayer. I want to see to it that you know that you're saved before you leave this building. Say, Preacher, I've held out on Jesus Christ before, but I want to be saved now. I want to start 78 as a new person. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Are there any? Don't delay. If Christ has spoken to your heart, don't turn down His invitation. Many folks, if they're invited to anything, they could hardly turn it down. But sometimes they'll turn down Jesus who suffered and bled and died for them. Don't turn them down. Will you ask Him to save you right now? Say, Preacher, here's my hand. I want you to pray for me. I want to know for sure I'm saved. Are there any? Yes, I see your hand. Are there any others? Oh, dear friend, don't delay. Jesus said, come unto me. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. Oh, dear Lord, it would be a great delight to our heart if we were able to look out on this congregation in a year, if the Lord tarry, and see the same people have grown in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not have the sadness of knowing that some of them are out there floundering because something stopped them. Oh, Lord, we pray for every person here determined in their heart that they were going to go on and let nothing stop them by the grace of God. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou would give us the strength. We know that ultimately, Lord, that ultimately many times we're tested to where we give it up. And we trust in Thee that in those times when we are so weak we can hardly hang on, that Thou wilt do the job. We trust Thee for it, Lord. We trusted Thee for our salvation. We know that Thou art mighty to keep us, for Thou hast promised to keep that which we have committed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it might be true of every Christian here. We pray for this one that raised their hand for salvation. We pray that this morning they might know without a shadow of a doubt that they're saved, that they're on their way to heaven, that Christ has saved their soul. We pray for each one here that no one we'll let anything stop them from being saved. Bless us to this end. Bless us this day. May our new year be run with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it may be rough, but may it be run with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be able to say at the end, we've fought a good fight. Bless us as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen.